the New Testament book of 1 John. We look at 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 through 13, as we think about those birthmarks of the believer. 1 John chapter 5, beginning with verse 11. Here John writes, "And this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Whoever has the Son has life. And whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life." It surely speaks to us this morning concerning the preeminence of Jesus Christ in our lives. And John writes in verse 13, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. You know, in the church that I attended as a little boy, I remember two little girls that attended there also. These two girls were twins, identical in every way, except for one distinguishing fact. And that was that one of the little girls had a birthmark on her cheek. And had it not been for that birthmark, it would have been absolutely impossible, at least for me, to be able to tell the difference between the two. Well, do you know this morning that God also gives us, as believers in Christ, a birthmark? We, as believers, as followers of Christ, as Christians, we possess a birthmark, certain identifiable marks that mark us, that distinguish us, that set us apart as followers of Jesus Christ, setting us apart from the rest of the world as being the children of God, as belonging to the Lord. You see, from the moment of salvation in our lives, from the moment that we are saved, they mark us, they distinguish us as being followers of Jesus Christ. And every born-again believer possesses these birthmarks, if you will, of salvation. And identifying the presence of or the lack of these marks in our lives can help us to know where we stand in relation to God. So what are these spiritual birthmarks? What are these marks in our lives that can give us that blessed assurance that we indeed this morning belong to the Lord? Well, the first mark that a believer should possess in his life, the first mark that we can think about this morning is that of spiritual conversion. What do I mean by that? In verse 1, he says, "Everyone who believes that Jesus is Christ has been born of God." So we notice that word, believe. You see, spiritual conversion must occur in our lives for us to be a believer, for us to be a Christian. In other words, we cannot belong to Christ unless we first have come to Christ. Unless we have first turned to Him and called upon His name and trusted in Him and believed upon His holy name. So there must be that evidence, that experience of spiritual conversion. This verse tells us that as a believer, that a true believer is a person who believes upon the name of Jesus, that believes upon Him as Savior and as Lord. So we must believe. So what does it mean to believe? What does it mean to believe? Verse 1 says, "Everyone who believes that Jesus is Christ has been born of God." Is belief merely a mental acknowledgement of that fact? Is it just something that we know in our minds and with our heads? You see, belief is much more than that. Belief is more than just knowing something with our minds. It is also embracing and accepting that truth into our hearts so deeply that it changes the very fabric of our lives and our beings. You see, genuine belief, saving faith, is coming to that place where we are trusting in nothing else or no one else for forgiveness of sin and salvation of the soul than Jesus Christ. It's a realization that we are sinners, and because of that sin, we are separated from God. And that the only place we can go to for forgiveness of sin is Jesus. That He's the only one that we can turn to for eternal life and for salvation, as the Word says that He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by Him. Is it that He is the only one that can forgive us? He is the only one that can save us. He is the only one that can redeem us and restore us to a right relationship with God that is only found in Christ alone. We get to that point of confession in our lives. The Bible says if we will confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We get to that point of repentance where we turn from our sins. We turn from it and we go in a different direction and we call upon His holy name to forgive us and save us, come into our hearts and our lives, and we surrender our lives to Him. Spiritual conversion. Do you carry that birthmark, that essential, vital birthmark this morning of the spiritual conversion? In other words, put it very simply, has there been a very definite, clear moment in time in your life that you can look back on where you say, that was the day, that was the moment that I called upon Jesus to be my Savior, to be my Lord? And not only are we to possess the mark of spiritual conversion, but as believers this morning, we carry another mark. We also possess the mark of spiritual change. Change has been wrought in our lives when we come to Jesus Christ. In verses 2 through 5 there in chapter 5, he says, "By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" So there's a change that takes place in our lives. Has there been a change in your life since you've come to know the Lord? You see, I'm not talking about changes that we can make, little lifestyle improvements that we strive to make in our lives. You know, we try to make improvements in our life. You know, we want to eat better. We want to exercise a little bit. We want to be a little kinder and gentler, nicer and friendlier to people. I'm not talking about those types of lifestyle improvements that we endeavor to make, but I'm talking about the fact that our lives have been touched and changed by the power and presence of God in our lives. You see, Christianity is not so much something that we do, but it's something that God does in us and through us because of our faith in Jesus Christ. We cannot come into the presence of Jesus without having been profoundly touched and our lives being profoundly changed. The very concept of conversion conveys the idea of change. Say, we've been converted, therefore our lives have been changed. So spiritual conversion, salvation, should lead to deep, profound, intimate, personal, systematic, lasting changes in our lives. This verse tells us that those who are saved will have a desire to follow Christ. We have a desire to live for Him. We have a desire to walk with the Lord. We no longer have the desire to walk in darkness. We no longer have that desire to follow after the ways of the world. We no longer have the desires to live like the world and to remain in sin. Now we have the desire to walk in light, to follow Christ as our Savior. When we come to the Lord, He puts us on a different course. He puts us on a different track. He puts our lives on a very different path when we come to Him. You see, when we come to the Lord, when we come to Christ, our life changes. Our desires change. Our want to changes. We no longer have those same desires and want tos. Those things that used to be fun are now maybe are not quite so fun. Those desires that we used to have that used to rule and motivate us no longer rule our hearts and motivate our lives. You see, the old has passed away. Our former lives are no more. We've cut ties with the past. We are a new person. Our master is no longer self. Our master is no longer sin. We now serve a new master. We now have a new Lord. We now desire the things of God. We desire to live for the Lord. We desire to serve the Lord. We desire to fellowship with the Lord and all that is His. You see, a genuinely converted person can no longer continue to live a lifestyle of unrepented sin. You see, for the believer, when the believer sins, a new dynamic takes place in our lives. And that is the immediate sense of wrongdoing. The immediate sense of wrongdoing by the convicting power of the Holy Spirit that's now operating and at work in our lives. And as believers, we understand at that moment that we have damaged our fellowship with God and that we will not have peace in our lives until we make things right with our Lord. You see, as believers this morning, we realize that when we sin as saints of God, He deals with us as His child. And in the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, when we confess and when we repent, then we find His mercy and grace is extended toward us once again. Listen, if you belong to the Lord this morning, no one has to tell you right from wrong. No one has to tell you what is right and what is wrong in the eyes of God. No one has to tell us those things because we already know because of the power and presence of God working in our lives. The Holy Spirit is our guide. The Word of God is our guide that lets us know what is right and wrong, not in the eyes of the world, but in the eyes of Almighty God. So there is a distinct spiritual change in our lives when we come to know the Lord, when we come to follow the Lord. We no longer want to live for the world. We no longer want to live in sin, but we want to now fully, completely, wholeheartedly live for the Lord. But not only do we possess the mark of spiritual conversion where we have come to Christ, not only do we now possess the mark of spiritual change where we now desire to live for Christ, but there's also another mark that's evident in our lives as believers, and that is the mark of spiritual charity. In verse 2, he talks about this charity. He talks about love. He says, "By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey His commandments." So love should be evident in our lives. In 1 Corinthians 13, it says, "Now abide these three, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love." You see, for the believer, when we come to Christ, our lives are now marked by love. The love of God now rules our hearts and our lives. Jesus Himself alluded to this fact in John 13, 35, when He said, "You will know My people by the love they have for one another." He didn't say because they attend church or because they're a good person or because they dress a certain way or look a certain way. Or He said, "You'll know My people by the love that they have for one another." You see, we cannot claim to be born of the Spirit of God and retain hatred and envy and jealousy in our lives. Those things have to go. They have to go. They have to make way for the love of God that now rules and reigns and works in our lives. The power of those traits cannot coexist with the life-changing power of God's love that now rules supreme in our hearts. God's love manifests itself in a lot of ways. There's some of the ways that God's love manifests itself is by the care and compassion and concern for others. By the love of His Word, that we no longer shun His Word. We no longer want to debate and argue His Word. We accept His Word because it governs our lives. We no longer want to dismiss ourselves in prayer, but we want to find ourselves in prayer. We love to pray to our Lord. We love the church. We love God's people. We have a love for all people. We have a love for the lost and a concern for others, especially those that need the Lord, and an intense desire to see those that need the Lord come to know Christ. All of these are indicators of God's love
at work
in our lives. And the love of God working in our lives is proof positive, is evidence that we indeed belong to Him and that the love of God is alive in our hearts. But I also want us to see another mark this morning that's a very important one that distinguishes the believer from the non-believer. So we've come to Christ. Our lives have been changed. We're now filled with the love of God. But then also we can see something else. Another mark that the believer should possess is that of a spiritual companion. What do I mean? What is this spiritual companion that we think of? Chapter 4, verse 13 here tells us, "By this we know that we abide in Him and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit." You see, the truth that we can rest assured of is that at the point of salvation, something transformational takes place in our lives. At the very moment we come to the Lord, something life-changing occurs, and that is that the Spirit of God comes to reside within us. And there are very distinct reasons for that. He is our helper. He is our guide. He helps us. He leads us. He guides us. He teaches us. He instructs us. He quickens us, convicts us of wrongdoing. He is our moral compass that illuminates the way and allows us to be able to navigate through the darkness of this world and this life. And He is ever, always at work, making us more Christ-like along the way in everything that we do. You see, a life that is evident of being ruled by and governed by the Spirit of God is a proof this morning, a spiritual mark, an indicator in your life that you indeed belong to the Lord. So there are spiritual traits, there are marks in our lives, indicators that give credence, that give evidence that we are not our own, that we've been bought with a price, that Jesus has purchased us and ransomed us with His very own blood, that we indeed belong to the Lord. Does your life exhibit these birthmarks of a believer that we've talked about this morning? Are there identifying marks, proofs, and evidence, indicators in your life that you belong to the Lord, that you are a follower of Christ? Has there been that spiritual conversion, that moment in time in your life that you can point to and you can say, that was the day, that was the time that I knelt and I gave all to the Lord? Has there been that spiritual change in your life, that 180 turnaround where you now live for Christ? Does your life exhibit the love of God, that spiritual charity where you're now filled with and ruled by the love of Christ? And are you filled with and led by the Holy Spirit all along the way as you walk day by day with Jesus? If these marks are not evident in your life today, they can be. They can be. So I wonder what would keep us today from coming to the Lord. In closing, John says in verse 13, "I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know, that you may know that you have eternal life." Let's pray. Father, thank you for your precious word. Thank you for the truth of your word. And Father, now I pray that you would do what I can't do, what no man can do, that you would speak to the hearts of all present. Speak to us, Lord, of your greatness and of our great need for you in our lives. Father, I pray that as we look inward this morning, as we look at our own lives, that we could clearly see those birthmarks that we carry that remind us that we belong to our Lord. And Lord, as we look inward this morning and we fail to see those marks, I pray, Lord, that you would help us to see that invitation to come to you is always available and it's always open. Lord, I pray that you would speak to each heart today. Have your will and your way in this time of invitation. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.